Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Milestone Hacker Podcast. You're here with the host, Apollo, and I have a amazing guest on today by the name of Brian Zavosky. Sorry, Brian, is that how you pronounce your last name?
Zavosky, yeah. Wow. It's a difficult one for sure.
That's a hard one. I tried my best. I hope I didn't do you too bad there. And so,
no problem.
So Brian is basically a product designer. In terms of like marketing, helping various people with UI, animation, things of that nature. Brian, I just really wanted to get sort of an overview of maybe like your journey into like product design. Is this something that you sort of maybe had an interest in as like maybe a younger child growing up, or was it sort of something that you transitioned to? Like how did you settle on product design essentially?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I think like, at least in the version of product design that's like working on internet products, like that didn't even really exist when I was a kid. But I think there was like some aspect of like, but like made for children. And I had a lot of fun with that. Never really thought of it until after the fact. Graduated college and at the time was thinking that I was gonna go into architecture. And my degree was in economics, so that like wasn't super relevant. But then through trying to build up a portfolio for architecture school, I did an architecture internship and really kind of discovered that the architecture side of things is like 90% bureaucracy and 10% design versus on the product design side of things, it's almost switched. So I could spend kind of more time actually like designing and creating because there are like less kind of technical and safety and like other limitations that don't really exist on the web as much.
Sure. And so would it be fair to say like the architectural world kind of opened your eyes into the product design space? Is that where you first initially said, okay, wow, I think I really enjoy this at this point?
Yeah. So I was taking a couple of like community college courses basically to build up a portfolio for architecture school. And just through kind of the nature of what was available, I took a couple like digital design classes. They were definitely more kind of like graphic design focused rather than product design. Sure. But through that, one of the professors, he was working at a startup and doing product design basically. And then I kind of did a really good job in class, partially because I think it like came naturally and partially because I put a lot of time and effort into it.
Sure.
And so ended up working with him like 2 days a week or something like that as like an intern at this startup that basically created native looking web apps for small businesses and then kind of drove traffic to them through AdWords.
And how important was that internship? Was that something that you think propelled you forward like quite far?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Because it was like something that I wasn't even really aware of at the time. And yeah, it totally just like opened up my eyes as to like what was possible. And I think definitely through that kind of like led to one, me being more interested in it. But then obviously too, like having kind of that baseline level of experience.
Yeah. And that's something that I wanted to sort of really focus on, because I do hear it quite often where, you know, past guests, for example, they'll mention, yeah, like I was an intern for so-and-so sort of in that same line of field that they're currently involved in. And I feel like that was like a pivotal moment for someone to both sort of validate that, yes, they like it, whatever that is, and then be given that experience to sort of, you know, propel themselves forward. So for anyone like listening who's in that position, maybe that's something you can try. Like if you're not sure, maybe on a career direction, or if you like that particular whatever it is that you're interning for, give it a shot and see. And that's something that can definitely open up a lot of doors. I just really wanted to like focus on that key point, which I think is crucial. And so I see, Brian, that you have like multiple different things you're working on, quite a bit, and it's an impressive list. And so I guess the first question I have is like, where did you like start? Did you just start making like UI, tinkering with it, and then offering like courses to help people learn how to do it? Like, how did that all transpire?
So, I mean, it was definitely kind of like an iterative approach and happened over time. So I did the kind of after that internship that turned into a full-time job for a little while, and then another one after that. And then for the past, I guess, 3 or so years now, I've been doing freelance, and kind of through that freelance process, that's kind of grown into like when I'm working on client projects, I'm like focused just on the client projects. But then if that work is a little slower or whatever, then that kind of like gives me the opportunity to kind of focus on other things. And for me, it's kind of just been a matter of like following what's interesting, and then also combined with following how people are responding to it, to those things that I already think is interesting. So like with the course, for example, I was really excited when Envision launched Studio. It definitely kind of opened up this whole world of UI animation that was a lot more kind of straightforward than like having to learn After Effects. And just because like UI motion and animation is pretty different than like standard traditional motion graphics. And so I just kind of set up a landing page that was like, oh, I'm going to like, I've been doing design for a handful of years now. I like understand for the most part how the tools work. And so I want to like, I'm interested in this. I'm interested in learning it. And I'm interested in kind of like sharing my learning along the way, and then put that up on Designer News, and definitely had kind of like a pretty positive response. People seemed interested in it, partially because they were interested in Studio. But then kind of over the course of a little while, that kind of grew into its own thing. And I started seeing this pattern of, okay, what people are really interested in is kind of that animation side of things. That was sort of like what made Studio unique. And that was also what people were interested in learning about. And so that's kind of how the course came to be, was a combination of just testing out something that I thought was interesting, and then seeing kind of like, okay, this is the specific part of it that the people that are kind of along for the ride also think are interesting. So then the course is all focused on motion and animation rather than kind of the tool as a whole.
Got it. And is this course still available today?
It is, yeah.
And whereabouts can people find that?
So it's meaningfulmotionui.com/course.
And so just simply go to that website and then just sign up and then off they go?
Yep, exactly. Awesome. And the course is totally free. I was able to kind of work with Envision through their Design Forward Fund to be able to kind of make it more accessible to folks.
Sure. And is it like how long is the course itself? Do you know?
I want to say it's shortly under 3 hours of video, but I would say definitely edited super down. So to kind of digest it and go through all of the project files and stuff like that, I would plan on like at least twice that.
Okay, that's not bad. So at least the option's there in terms of someone who's interested in that type of animation work. So folks, I mean, if you're into that, or maybe even want to check out to see if you are interested in that type of thing, maybe give the course a try and see, like, you know, would it be beneficial for someone who's, you know, maybe debating if they want to go down the animation route? That could be something. Or if you know for sure you like that, then I highly suggest give the course a try, and you might find some things that are really valuable there. And so I see you have that animation course, and then you have another one, but this one's through MakerPad.co, I believe.
So the article on MakerPad is basically, it kind of just like explains a little more about the course and kind of how I created it and things like that.
Okay, got it. And so are you at all familiar with like the no-code movement of things? Is that something that sort of piques your interest at all?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have had my personal portfolio site on Webflow for probably like 3 years now or something like that. And that has definitely been kind of my initial kind of visibility into no code, but I think it's really interesting and I think it's really powerful. When I was working full time, I was also doing a lot of front end development. Okay. So I have like a relatively solid background in kind of the development side of things, at least on the front end, but still just like using Webflow was totally eye opening into like, oh, there's so much you can do, and like you can do it so much faster. And I think the interesting thing about Webflow and Zapier and like some of these other no-code tools is it actually kind of understands like the underlying technology in a way that like previous website builders didn't.
Okay, got it. And so diving into like the front end aspect of things, like, is that something you learned like relatively quickly, or is that sort of like over like, you know, a little bit every day for like a year or two? Like, how did you get experience with the front end side of things?
So it kind of started at the initial internship that I mentioned, kind of turned into a full-time thing.
Okay.
I was just taking courses on like Treehouse and Code School and stuff like that. And then kind of through that, actually started like applying it on the job. And then, yeah, kind of diving deeper into like all the HTML, CSS, JavaScript side of things. And then kind of started playing a little bit with Rails, which is what kind of the whole platform was on at the time. But then that was kind of where I sort of like stopped my development journey, I guess.
At that point, yeah. Okay, so I just sort of started doing some research in terms of the no-code, like, you know, aspect of things, and I watched their no-code conference, I think it was a couple days ago, the replay of it. And so there's a lot of, I guess, new tools out there for someone who's maybe just trying to sort of maybe launch something quickly or put out, like, some type of MVP product out there. I'm just wondering, like, do you think no-code has a legitimate, I guess, like, part to play for someone who's maybe not technically savvy?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's like the sort of thing that depending on what you're trying to build, it's still going to be challenging or impossible with no code tools. But especially for like getting an MVP out or like building a landing page or a lot of those sorts of things, it's definitely a way that you can kind of get something up and test the market and those sorts of things a lot faster. And you can, like, once you have something out there, you can iterate on it a lot faster.
Great, great. So that's something that I also want to, like, I guess maybe put like a little shout out towards. Because sometimes I feel like some entrepreneurs are stuck in the, I guess, technical side of things, where they're either trying to learn how to do something and then launch it, or perhaps are just sort of head down coding day after day and not really like speaking to the customers, for example. And so maybe this is another avenue for someone who's in that position, someone who's maybe not that technical or maybe are still trying to learn, but you have this really great idea. I guess what I'm trying to say is, let's not try and like just focus on the code aspect alone. Maybe it's worth the while to just like build this thing, get it out there, and then test the market and see like, is this viable or not? And then say, okay, well, if it's viable, maybe I can sort of host it on the no code side of things. But at the same time, at least I'll still be able to like learn coding itself and maybe, you know, have it where you can use both to your advantage, essentially.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I think it's like, it's not one or the other. I think if you are like a full-time developer, there's still places that it fits. And if you are like totally non-technical, like there may be situations where like you can't do something with no code. And so it does make sense to kind of like understand the back end and stuff like that.
Yeah. So like even the no code side of things, you still have to be aware of how things work. I mean, essentially to connect them, to understand, you know, how the pieces work to a certain degree, you have to know that anyway. So I agree with you totally. And I think it's both viable to know both sides of things, sort of like they work together cohesively, really. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you mentioned the course and it's still open for everybody. So that's great. Do you know how many students are sort of have taught or are teaching or?
Yeah. So I think total the course has around 3,200 signups or something like that.
Wow. So clearly really successful. So that's good. And so like, do you receive feedback at all from the students or is that sort of nothing that you sort of hear?
Not so much lately, but it's definitely been the sort of thing that like I was able to like fix a couple bugs and stuff like that when I first launched it. And then I haven't been doing it lately, but I send out like a semi-occasional newsletter and there's usually like a little feedback and stuff like that from that too.
Okay. And so the newsletter, do you use like an emailing service for that?
So I'm using Drip right now. But it's definitely kind of overkill for what I need, I would say.
Okay. But the product itself, in your opinion, would you like recommend it if someone's interested in that type of thing?
I mean, if you're like already doing a lot with email and if you're kind of interested in the automation aspect of it, and especially if you're like an e-commerce brand, I think those are kind of the situations where like Drip specifically would work pretty well.
Perfect. Okay. And so then doing a little bit of research too, I found that you also have a podcast, Latitude.
Yeah. So that's like pretty much brand new. I think it's going to be launching probably sometime next week, maybe like Thursday or something like that.
Congratulations. And so can you just maybe dive into like what Latitude is, perhaps, for anybody who's interested?
Yeah, sure. So the short version of it is basically the non-business side of growing a business. And so there's a lot of stuff out there about kind of like marketing and sales and development and SEO and all of these things. And I think that stuff is really valuable. And like, I'm glad that it exists. But kind of the angle that I'm trying to take is really more around mindset and productivity. Showing up as an entrepreneur every day is hard. And like, you never really know that you're doing the right thing because there's so many different things you can be working on. And so how do you figure out like what's going to have impact, but also like what's fulfilling to you as a person? And how does kind of the business side of things and like the life side of things kind of mesh together in a way that's like the most valuable for you as a human being rather than as like a business creator?
Awesome. I like that idea a lot. And is that something that you're hosting with somebody, or like who's the provider there? Can you say?
Yeah. So that's going to be on Transistor.
Okay. So that's Justin, right? Is that the gentleman? Justin? Yep. Okay. Awesome. And this is launching, when was it again? Remind me.
This next week. So I'm not sure when this is going to go live, but yeah, the week of November 18th, I guess.
Perfect. Okay. And so in your experience, I guess, because you've sort of have like a, you know, long list of things that you've done, like how do you build something that matters to you? Is it just seeing what other people sort of can learn from the courses you offer, for example, and benefit that way? Like what gives you like the umph to do these things?
I mean, I think it's just kind of a matter of figuring out like the things that you're already interested in. I think like a lot of people, and like myself included to like varying extents, there's this goal of like, okay, I'm going to like target this market with this thing and it's going to like grow for this reason. But like, I think if you're trying to do something like that, and especially if you're trying to do something like that as a solo founder, it's going to be an uphill battle versus like if you're creating something that like you already know something about, like you know you're passionate about, you know you're interested in, you already have some expertise. Like those are the sort of things that are gonna just like pull you forward. And then it's like almost not even a matter of like all of these kind of like productivity tips and tricks and hacks. The bigger thing is like if you actually like care,
yeah,
then you're gonna do the work basically.
Exactly, and I agree with that as well. Perfect. Okay, and so then like when you're making, I guess, deciding on a project or on a course or things like that, like, is there a signal that sort of tells you, okay, like, let's keep working on this? Or do you sort of, like, how does that process work in terms of saying, I have an idea, I jotted it down, I want to start this project? Is it just something that you're passionate about that you're trying to put out? Or do you think, like, okay, maybe this is a pain point for someone, so let's, and maybe it's a pain point for you as well, so let's work on something that could benefit sort of you as a person who has the knowledge and really want to get that information out to help someone, but also for someone on the other side who's maybe new to this line. So we use the animation, for example, as a subject here. In your opinion, like, how do you decide like what to actually work on? Like, how do you get that off the ground?
I mean, it's hard for sure. I think that's a really great question because it's like something that I've struggled with too. So I've had relative success with the course. I think that stuff is really interesting and I think it's really valuable. But at least kind of like with the place that I'm at right now, I'm kind of less interested in like design tools specifically. And so I definitely tried to kind of continue with that, with kind of keeping the email list going, or like I've done a couple things on like a couple videos on YouTube and sure, a handful of articles and stuff like that. But it took me a long time to realize that like, okay, that's like not the thing anymore. And so I potentially could have monetized that more.
Sure.
But for me, it's like, I'm in the like lucky position that like, I don't have to. And I mean, I like, obviously I still work really hard on my side projects and on my like freelance stuff, but the freelance stuff provides the bulk of kind of my income. But I tried to stick with that for like longer than I should have. And the last newsletter that I sent out was basically like, I'm kind of taking a pause on this for a little while. And that was, I think, like a handful of months ago. And then through that, I've been able to kind of like focus on the podcast, and ideally the podcast is kind of like a lead into like a potential SaaS app that I'm kind of planning on building. But I think it's more connected than we like to think that it is. So the existing course is like super specific on UI animation versus kind of the podcast is like, what is meaningful work? But, and this is something that I haven't really confirmed yet, but the suspicion is like people that are like doing UI animation also care about meaningful work for the same reason that like I care about UI animation and I care about meaningful work.
Sure.
And so like we're all a little more kind of like multifaceted than I think we kind of like acknowledge from a marketing perspective. And so this is like, I guess, kind of a roundabout answer to your question is like it has to be in alignment on both the user needs and like your own kind of personal satisfaction. And so for me right now at the point that I'm at with like the podcast and the SaaS app, I know that it's kind of personally satisfying for me. But obviously it can't continue to exist forever in that situation. Sure. So that's like the starting point, but I've also kind of like decided that it'll be largely focused on kind of like working with and interacting with freelancers and founders and bootstrappers and people that are kind of creating their own things. And so I know that's like a group of people that I enjoy working with and interacting with. And so then kind of through that, I think you can kind of start to find what the actual like pain points are, just like through being empathetic and being interested rather than kind of like trying to seek those things out as like a separate part, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that as well. I mean, and I like that, you know, you mentioned it's really like full circle. Like you have to want to do it. You have to like, it matters to you, first of all. And then if it matters to you so much where you're putting that information out there, then other people would obviously appreciate that. And it matters to them. So it is like full circle. And so then like when you're working on these things, like, I guess like even for myself, I sometimes struggle with it. Like how do you keep yourself like engaged on like these projects, especially when it's like, you know, maybe in the same subject or if you have like multiple projects going, like how do you direct your attention to where, like how do you sort of prioritize things?
I mean, I think there's like a lot of different rabbit holes we could go down based on that question. But I think overall, it's kind of a combination of accountability. So like with client work, for example, like I know it's going to get done because I have other people that are counting on it and I have like specific deadlines. Okay. Obviously, that's like a lot harder as kind of like an entrepreneur and when you're working on something that's potentially like just you. And so if there are ways you can build that accountability in, and like, so for me, that's like my weekly mastermind where I have to like show up every week. And like, if I'm not making progress, I have to like tell these people like, oh, I didn't do anything last week. Like,
yeah.
And so no one wants that. So it's like, it's motivating just because it's like out in public almost. And then I think the other part of it too is like systems rather than like specific, like habits or to-dos or whatever. And so the system for me personally is like, I know that I need to take some time like daily to basically be like, okay, what is like the important thing? And then I know if I do even just that thing, it's going to move the needle in some way. And then kind of at the weekly level, like, okay, what are the important things for this week? And obviously that can be like more or less structured. That's like almost irrelevant, but like having those check-in times with yourself where you are like actually kind of revisiting like, okay, what is it that I'm doing? Like, why am I doing it? And how is it impacting me personally? And how is it impacting the business?
Exactly. And so when you're having like these daily, I guess, like what's important today, is that something you do like the day of, like, or is that just something you brainstorm like mentally, or do you have like an app that helps you with, like, you drop down your ideas and say, okay, prioritize it? Like, how do you,
I mean, it like varies. If I'm doing it the way that like the ideal situation is like the night before, as I'm kind of like wrapping things up for the day and like closing my laptop, just because then you can show up the next day and just work. But I think like when and how is less relevant. I think just having those check-in times, and it doesn't even need to necessarily be daily, but just having time set aside to think about things on like a more strategic level, and sure. then having time set aside to think about things on more of a tactical level.
Exactly. And so like, to give you an example for myself, the way my personality operates, I'm like into 1,000 things. And for me, my days have to be structured. And I don't mean like every single minute, but there has to be like some type of structure. Cause if it's not, then I'll like drift in various like different rabbit holes throughout the day. And then when I look back at the end of the day, it's sort of like, well, I accomplished like a little bit of here, a little bit of there, but really in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't very much because I'm like dabbling into 1,000 different things. But that's just for me. Like that's just the way my personality works. And that's with anything. So the structuring I think is important for maybe people that are similar, or maybe if you're not as well, that's fine to have like some idea of what you're working on the next day, I think is important, and not necessarily like down by the minute, but at least giving you like an overarching theme of like, okay, I want to accomplish this today. I find like this is a top priority or it's important to me because of whatever the reasons are. So I think that's a good way to look at it for sure.
And I think you hit on something else too there, where like you finish the day and you feel like, oh, I like didn't really do what I needed to do. So I think it's also a matter of basically like being okay with that sometimes. There are going to be times when you are more or less productive, and just like almost by taking it less seriously, you're able to kind of like be more productive. At least for me, like if I'm not as hard on myself, then I'm going to be more willing to kind of like pick it up the next day and kind of run with it.
So last question, because we're just wrapping up to the end of time here, but like, so where do you see like Brian going in the future? Like, do you have a direction right now, or is it sort of like, okay, let's launch this podcast whenever it's ready and see how that does? Or like, is there any future plans of like where you want to go?
Yeah. I mean, I try not to kind of plan things out like too far in advance because things change, obviously.
Sure.
But I mean, with that said, like I do it anyway, even if it's not productive. And so I think the thing is, yeah, see what happens with the podcast. And eventually the goal is to kind of like, as I mentioned, that's like along with the podcast, I'm starting in the very early stages of like researching and prototyping a tool that is basically like touches on some of these things that we talked about. Like how do you do meaningful work? And like, is there a software solution to that? Like, I don't know. But like, I think it can be aided at least. And so, yeah, I guess kind of the near-term goal is to get at least like an MVP of that out.
Okay.
And then kind of see what happens from there.
Awesome. Okay, so we're just about out of time. Why don't you tell the listeners where they can find you, whether it's Twitter, websites, what have you?
Yeah, sure. So if you're interested in the podcast, that's createlatitude.com/podcast. Since you're already listening to podcasts, that's potentially a good way to start. And then on Twitter, I'm Zavzen. That's Z-A-V-Z-E-N. And my DMs are open. So feel free to kind of send me whatever thoughts or questions you have about animation or productivity or entrepreneurship or whatever. And I'm happy to kind of chat about all of that stuff.
Great. Okay. So for the folks listening, I will be putting all that information in the show notes as well. So it's easy for you just to grab, click and go. So don't worry about writing it down. And Brian, it's awesome podcast. Thank you very much for your time. I really do appreciate all your insights and things like that. I think it was extremely valuable for anybody out there. So yeah, thank you very much. I really do appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. Glad to be on.
Awesome. And by the way, in the future, when you launch that SaaS MVP product, please, by all means, let us know. I would love to hear what it is, how it's doing, and maybe touch base maybe a couple months afterwards or something.
Absolutely. Yeah. And my plan as I kind of launch the podcast and stuff is to share it on Indie Hackers with the milestones. So that's awesome. Probably a good place to check it out too.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, Brian, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Alrighty, there's another complete episode of the Milestone Hackers podcast. Thank you very much for all the listeners, all the guests and previous guests. I truly do appreciate the time that you're giving me to pursue this, I guess, great hobby of mine.
And of course, if you are a listener, old, new, or just coming across this podcast, please do share any thoughts you may have about the podcast to me. It could be comments, could be suggestions, it could be potential guests that you would like to see on the show. I am always open ears to that type of thing. You can contact me directly at milestonehackers@gmail.com. And again, thank you very much, and I will see you on the next episode. Take care now.